The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you to the second hour, busy first hour with Pat Forte of Sports Illustrated on, giving us the latest take on this week in college athletics, especially in college football, where so many important decisions are on the docket. The ACC being first up, there's a lot of speculation the Pac-12 may further elaborate, and then the SEC. We heard from the commissioner of the SEC 2 weeks ago today, and he pointed toward the end of July, which comes on Friday. Let's get back to the calls, and we'll talk about Alabama's amazing haul so far commitment-wise in recruiting. That's coming up in a few minutes. Let's check out Allison, who is up next. Hello, Allison.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Thank you.
Good. I thought I'd call and respond to James about his anecdote from Andalusia. It's amazing to me that a lot of these disputes about COVID numbers seem to be anecdotal, and really all you have to have is the actual printout of the test to
I'll tell you what. I mean, it works, but it works both ways. And I don't know anything about testing.
Well, I do.
But
we do.
but you and I both know. Well, explain how it works, will you?
Well, I mean, you get your test, you wait your anywhere from 3 to 10 days to get it back. In that time, you're hopefully quarantining so that you don't, because you think you have COVID-19. You don't go out and about, and when you do get a reading back, you get the phone call, but you also get a paper trail with it. And that is what I've seen on a lot of these discussions of fake news, is that there's no paper trail. There's no proof that this happened in Andalusia. Where is the test result for the people who didn't really take a test?
Well, but I want you to explain something, because I've had people tell me this repeatedly, that they sign up at whatever pharmacy they go to, they end up not going, and then they get called and told they have a positive test.
Okay. Where is the test?
Well, there is no test, but you know, I guess what they're claiming is, do those numbers go into the hopper, so to speak?
No.
If those numbers are not counted, then it really doesn't matter.
I agree. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, no,
I
think it just shows that, I mean, there's a skepticism of the process, and that's fine. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, again, then you have to wonder whether the tests are a decent test as well.
Right.
You know, people have been tested.
Why does, since you are knowledgeable and I'm not, Allison, why does it take so long to get the results?
Because the labs are overwhelmed.
Okay.
There are so many people that are sending these tests in. There's only so many people who are qualified to run them.
Those numbers are continuing to go up in terms of the amount of testing done. So I guess the only solution to that are better tests. Is there anything about to come into the market? I know there was talk about these flash tests.
Oh, well, okay. Let me say, I am not a professional. Our family has had tests done. I know what.
Okay, so you're just relating what you've experienced. Okay,
that's true. I'm also anecdotal.
Yeah. By the way, you're far more anecdotal than I am. I am. I'm Anna stupid, because I don't know a thing about it. But I'm glad you informed. Thank you, Allison. I learned a little bit today, and now I just need to learn more. Great to have you. Catherine is in Florida. You're on the air. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Paul. Well,
hey,
I just was listening to you, and I guess we add another word to the COVID vocabulary, living in a bubble. So we've got social distancing, quarantining. Who would have ever thought we'd be
I feel like I've been living in a bubble since March, Catherine. I bet you can probably make the same claim.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we had a ray of sunshine in our house for a whole week. My husband was so excited that he got to watch the Yankees play. And now today he's back down disappointed.
Well, the baseball season is not over yet, but I will tell you, it's in trouble. So I don't know what's going to happen next. So let's continue. Bob is up next in Asheville, North Carolina. Hello, Bob.
Hello. I just heard her say, yeah, the baseball season is in trouble. I just own her thing because of what happened between the Marlins and the Phillies
right.
and the Yankees. Anyway, but what I was going to talk about is I'm 75 years old, never in the my short lifespan has no country has ever shut down ever for any pandemic epidemic. You can go back to the 1918, you can go back to smallpox, you can go back to polio. I remember one of my best friends, I looked at him when I was 8 years old, he was in an iron lung, but we never ever shut down the economy. My question is, why do we shut it down now? It doesn't shut it
well
down.
By the way, let me jump in here. The economy is not shut down. I mean, I don't know many businesses
well,
that aren't open.
It was for a while. It's basically still shut down.
Well,
in my opinion,
I don't know. I mean, listen, I mean, tell me this, Bob. There are restrictions, but tell me where you can't go right now.
I can't go to the YMCA.
Oh, well, okay, that's fair. I completely agree. You cannot. Well, you live in North Carolina, and your governor will not let gyms open. I'm well aware of that.
I cannot go to church. I can't go.
Okay. So, hold on. Stop right there. I don't want to be a lawyer here. You talked about the economy being shut down. You've talked about two nonprofits right there, church and the YMCA. And by the way, for the record, the YMCA is still getting my money every month, and they haven't provided one thing for me since March. So you talk about getting ripped off.
You did it wrong. By the way, you did it wrong because I pay mine by the year, every March.
Well,
I haven't paid my YMCA since March.
I pay it every month, and I have not been let in those doors, and they're still taking my check every month.
That's what I'm saying. You have a deduction from the checking account.
Okay,
that's your problem.
That is my problem. And I'm going to. But my point back to you before we got into a opus on the YMCA is this. Restaurants are open. They may not be full service, but they're open. Department stores are open. Car dealerships are open. Airlines are open if you choose to fly. Hotels are open. So how is the economy shut down?
It is. Last time I looked, they said today that the economy is still 50% lower than it used to be.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not. We're not. I'm not going to quibble. I mean, I would agree with you.
Yeah. Okay. That's why
things are not normal, but they are certainly better than they were on March 20th.
My question to you again, though, is no country's ever shut down. The world never shut down, and 100 years. And why we do it for this pandemic, I have no idea. Smallpox.
Well, ultimately, Bob, you don't need me to give you an education, but it's up to individual states to determine what can be open and what can't.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. And your point is?
My point is that the governor of North Carolina or the governor of Georgia determines whether the economy is fully open and serviceable or not. That's not a federal, but anyway, I don't mean to continue the civics class. I think we both would pass. You probably better than I. We'll take a break. More to come. Tom Luganville joining us shortly on why has Nick Saban returned to his former self like about a year ago as the best recruiter in college football. We'll come right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We welcome you back. Great to have all of you with us on a Monday afternoon, already a newsy show. And we are really happy to welcome our next guest, Tom Luganbill of ESPN, covers the gambit of college football, joining us. Tom, thanks for the time, and it's been a long time. How are you?
Yeah, it's been too long, Paul. Really enjoying being able to visit with you. I'm doing as well as I guess hopefully you are.
We are. I want to get to some recruiting conversation in a minute, but you cover college football. You do a game every week, obviously, for ESPN and ABC, and have many, many contacts out there with whom you speak. What are the coaches going through right now that you speak to in terms of trying to battle through all the issues and try to get to the opening weekend?
I think they're just trying to make sure they do their part. And what I mean by that is ensuring that they're creating an environment, whether it's through their athletic training area, the strength and conditioning area, nutrition, whatever's going on in the building, that they're creating an environment that is safe and that is going to lend to, you know, towards us moving forward. You know, it's not just wearing masks. It's all the other things that go along with that to ensure that, you know, when you are testing and you're doing the things in-house that you're supposed to be doing, that you minimize those numbers, that you're moving forward, that you're dropping the numbers. And so I think the concern is the day-to-day operation of what's going on inside the building. And then I think also the continuing education with their players when they're not in the building of, you know, their conduct, the choices they make, understanding how important it is and that everybody's susceptible. I think sometimes coaches get concerned because they see young kids and the young kids feel like they're, you know, they're invincible, and this isn't going to affect them. And that, the reality is that's not true, and we all got to get on board. So I think so much of it is just making sure you're doing what you're supposed to do in-house.
There seems to be all kinds of scattered numbers of, you know, some schools with heavy outbreaks, but from what you hear, it doesn't seem like even the players who are testing positive are having many effects of it. Is that consistent with what you're hearing around the country?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, I think obviously what we've all learned over the last 5 to 6 months, and we're certainly not physicians or doctors, but we've all learned that if, you know, there is a certain age group and there's a demographic that's affected by this more negatively than others. And so far in our society, you know, the younger group, the younger age groups seem to be a little bit more resilient. And so, you know, I think that's a positive. I think that's a good thing. You're talking about, you know, healthy young individuals that obviously have trained and they've developed themselves physically and mentally to probably be the best prepared when these types of things hit. And, you know, we keep reading week in and week out that, you know, X amount of tests have been done and X amount have come back positive, and then the percentage of that number that is asymptomatic. And it seems to be pretty large every time we, you know, read a new release every day or every week. So, you know, I got to look at that as a positive. And I think, Paul, I think the one thing in all of this is at some point or another, whether there's a vaccine or not a vaccine, this thing is here to stay. This is going to be part of our society, like the flu, like SARS, like H1N1. And the reality is people are going to catch it. There are going to be positive tests, whether it's now, whether it's 6 months from now, whether it's 2 years from now.
Talking to Tom Luganbill, who's ESPN's National Recruiting Director. Tom, let me get to recruiting, and I know there's some things we can say and some things we can't, because these are commitments right now. But I want you to, and I think we talked to you at the beginning of this, and you weren't remotely concerned, and that proved to be prescient. But, I mean, there was a number out there 4 months ago, maybe less, more recent, that Alabama was ranked 55th in recruiting. A lot of people were like going, oh my goodness, what happened, and why has Alabama become Alabama again, which is what they are every year on recruiting day, but this year they were off to a slow start.
Well, I think they played the slow game, and I think they spent a lot of their time in the evaluation process that doesn't have anything to do with the player's physical ability. Right now, all they have to go on in that regard is game film from last fall and the previous fall. Unfortunately, they don't have the camps and combine, don't have a lot of that footage they're accustomed to, weren't able to get out in the spring, haven't had kids come to camp and participate like they normally would in the months of June and July. So what they've done is they've done their homework in all of the other areas, whether that's talking to an eighth grade guidance counselor, the prospect's assistant principal, a janitor, an athletic trainer, trying to evaluate the person, not just the player. And I think the more information that you gather in that regard gives you more confidence in the choices that you're making and the decisions you're making on which guys to go on. I think it also allows you to avoid making mistakes. And so Alabama has, you know, it's not a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a long-standing deal. And I think that they weren't worried about keeping up with everybody. Right now, everybody is in a technological recruiting world. So you're trying to sell your program over Zoom, Skype, or FaceTime. And then you're utilizing your graphics and your internet area and all these different things that are really your only tools right now. But more importantly, because we saw such a rash of verbal commitments for about 3 or 4 months, and a lot of them, Paul, I think the fact that if you've gotten your verbal commitments more recently, you probably have a higher likelihood of holding on to those, because if they let these coaches get back on the road or they start to let kids take official visits and unofficial visits back on campus, I think you're going to see a rash of decommitments come because so many kids made choices without actually stepping foot on a campus.
In terms of the quality, I mean, to be ranked in some of these polls number two, I think that speaks for itself. But, you know, Alabama already has its quarterback. But some of these players, I mean, how good are they?
I think it could go down as the greatest offensive line haul that Alabama will have had, certainly in the Nick Saban era, in terms of the caliber of player that they have addressed just at that position alone. Their top two players are the top offensive tackle and the second-ranked offensive tackle in the entire country. And then you continue to scroll down. They've got another top 10 offensive tackle in Terrence Ferguson, number one-ranked offensive center in the class. And so, to me, if you look at the areas that Alabama has added verbal commitments to, they are areas where two things. They have addressed that they need more depth, and that they are also anticipating that they could have early departures to the NFL draft with their current group within the next year or two.
Tom, just a futuristic question here, and you mentioned the evaluation. We've never been through anything like this in any way, but especially in recruiting. How do you think, what do you think the impact of all of this is going to be without really laying your eyes on a lot of these players?
This is an area where I really feel for the prospects that needed their senior year. And when I say that, you know, listen, you could take a top 10 player at any position, top 5 player, maybe a top 25 player at any position, and you know what? Whether that kid plays his senior year or not, he's going to have an opportunity to probably go play at whatever school he would like to play at. But then there's, you know, the bulk of the players in the class. You're talking about a group of 2,800 kids nationally. Many of them maybe were tweeners between the FBS or FCS level or the Group of Five or Power Five conference level, and they need their senior year to get over that hurdle, to make that next leap. And many of them may not have it. And I think that's going to be a shame because, you know, it's one thing for the top, you know, 1% of these guys to know they have a destination. But there's a lot of kids playing high school football out there that are, you know, juniors going into their senior year and are going to miss on that opportunity.
Some great stuff on real football. Tom Lugenbill joining us. it's a rarity that we talk about things like this, Tom. Hey, thanks for coming by. Be well.
You bet. You too. Thanks.
Tom Lugenbill joining us, talking about primarily the challenge that college coaches have and how Nick Saban has been able to negotiate and navigate through those choppy waters. We will take a break. We will head to New York a little bit later, talk to the top college football writer at the Associated Press as he looks forward to a very important week. Where have you heard that before? And then we'll head to Oklahoma a little bit later on and find out why Oklahoma has scheduled a game on week zero. And do they really expect to play it? We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back, and Richard is our next caller from Gulf Shores, Alabama. Richard, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. I want to thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I enjoyed Tom Luger. Bill, the gentleman that was on earlier that was talking about the coronavirus, I wonder if he's earned the right to speak about the coronavirus, because I'm 78 years old. I just got a negative clear test back. I'm ignoring it for another 2 weeks until I have another negative test. And I hear him speaking about who he's blaming for the problems of the coronavirus, and it bothers me because I understand his words were that it's the President of the United States. Well, you know, I've asked so many doctors here lately, what do you do about the virus? And they say, well, I said, should I go to this hospital or that hospital or the next hospital? And he said, they're all the same. Nobody really knows. So if you're going to blame somebody, if you tell you what should be done specifically, because I haven't.
First of all, I'm glad you're I think you're doing the right thing. I was tested the other day, and you know, you don't jump in up and down when you get a negative. You just keep doing the same thing you've been doing, and that's being careful
and pay attention. You're right, you're absolutely right, because it's a mean sucker. While I was in the middle of it, I would have a good day, and all of a sudden I'd have a reversal, and I just have to tough it out. I guess what I'm trying to say is that in listening to the beginning, when the president was trying to say stuff or try to get something out, he said hydroxychloroquine, the Z-Pak, and a lot of liquids and whatever. Well, I found a doctor that gave me the reason that they got off of hydroxychloroquine was because if you have a heart problem, it right. may lead to worse heart problems.
By the way, Richard, how long did you battle this?
Well, I first went for my first test on July the 1st. I got the response on July the 3rd, and that's when I dove under the bed. And then I took my first exam after July the 3rd, I went on the 17th and got a positive.
Hmm.
I kept doing what I was doing for another 7 or 8 days, and I went back and got took another test, and I got a negative. I knew I was better because you feel it. You really feel it, feel better, and then it gets a little gray, and you continue doing what you're doing, and I got better. So I really know that I am. I've deserved the negative, but you can't trust it, so you have to be careful. You have to stay away from people. You have to watch where you're going, watch what you're doing. But there is, and I take plenty of zinc, vitamin C, B vitamins, Protandim. Oh my goodness, I'm enjoying my good health because I can remember all that stuff at 78 years old. But when you talk about what does somebody do, everybody gives you a different answer, and nobody
right.
knows whether it's the President of the United States who's trying to. By the way, my hydroxychloroquine and my Z-Pak cost $9 together. I just wish everybody would quit pointing fingers at one another. If someone really has an answer, it looks like this new stuff that's going on for phase three may really be something. Well, the market went nuts, and everybody's happy with that, and I'm glad of that. And I hope we do have a vaccine, and I really hope that we can play fall sports safely. And I just hope that people quit pointing fingers at people that, and I don't believe he's really has earned the right to talk about who's doing what's right and what's wrong, because he hadn't been in the fire. I have. And I just think that what you can do is you got to wash your hands, wear the mask, take as many vitamins as you can, and find somebody that'll give you hydroxychloroquine and a Z-Pak and make you happy. And by golly, I just hope everybody in there does not go nuts like they are in lots of parts of the country. Obviously, I don't think everybody needs to move to Gulf Shores, but maybe they could move to other places. Anyway, silly now.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Richard. Mostly, I'm really glad you're doing better, and thank you for sharing that. I think it's great advice. And I agree, it's nobody's fault. There's a lot of people to blame, but ultimately you're responsible for how you handle your life. You be well. Thanks for the call. Wes is up next in Orlando. Wes, you're on the air. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Paul. Good. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Paul, I got two things I want to run by you. One thing I do want to say, all fans out there, myself included, is a big Auburn fan. I really recommend you start looking at your depth chart, because there's a real realistic chance that if we do a football season, say our starting quarterback Bo Nix goes down, there's a strong chance we're going to start a game with our backup quarterback, or maybe not necessarily Auburn, but all the universities out there. I recommend you start really looking at your depth charts.
You know, you're right. I mean, I was reading something today about predictions, and assuming we get to the middle to the end of the season, you're talking about massive upsets.
I mean, can you imagine? I mean, you look at a marquee matchup like Auburn, Alabama, and say, you know, for example, what both schools are on their backup quarterback? Can you imagine?
Well, if that happens, I like Alabama's chances.
Well, you're right on that one. One more thing I do want to bring up to you, and I thought of an idea. In the spring, there's always been that big gap of not having football, and we've always had all these failed professional football leagues attempt to do something, and this never works out. Now, one idea I had, the Ivy League, they've always kind of been their own thing. I know they're FCS. But think of the TV deals it could bring if you have schools like Harvard, Yale, and those type of schools playing in the spring as opposed to the fall. I mean, it could really solve a lot of issues if you think about it. And as a college football fan, I'll be more than happy to watch it.
Wes, there's no question there will be football in the spring. You have the Ivy, you have the SWAC. There's enough to keep us entertained, and I agree. I've covered a lot of these failed spring football leagues, and you know, part of the problem is that there are just once you get into the warm weather, there's just too much else going on. They've done moderately well while it's cold because you're home, but nobody wants to sit home on a Saturday afternoon and watch a football game in the spring, although it depends on when they're on. Yeah, I'll watch it on a Saturday night, and I'm sure you will too. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Wallace is up next in Florida. Wallace, thank you. Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
You bet. Great subject. We are talking about getting a lot of, you know, a lot of stories out there. But this is just my opinion, Paul. And I'm sitting here listening to a lot of people, and it just seems like half the country is taking this seriously, and half of them aren't. They think it's a hoax or whatnot. And the gentleman that you spoke to very eloquently from North Carolina, who was asking why this pandemic, why we had to close the country for this pandemic and not in any other pandemic. And, you know, the one thing that I can say, and once again, this is just my opinion, the one thing I can say is the leadership, leadership of the country. That's why we didn't have to close during other pandemics, because they got on the ball when the whatever pandemic came on board. That's number one. And number two, for the lady in I believe she's from Gulf Shores, was asking where are the where's the paper trail that proves these numbers are true. And you know, she might have a valid point, but then I would like to counter with to her. If she's a God-fearing person and she goes to church every Sunday, well, she's believing in an entity that we don't know exists. And so she's taken it upon herself to give, you know, or anyone who goes to church or, you know, basically or going on faith that there's something greater than us out there. And that's neither here nor there, but still, it's it was done without any receipts or any paper trail. So let's just err on the side of caution when it comes to this. I agree. I'm ready for us to get back to normal, but normal's going to take a long time to get there unless we all get on the same page. And it just seems like none of us are, because we are in our individual corners. I think that most of this is political. You have a political divide. Most of the people wearing masks that I know are either Democrats or liberals, and the ones that have a problem with it are conservatives and Republicans. So if we're going to call it out, let's be honest about it. So I just think that we all need to just take a deep breath, take care of what's in front of us, and if it comes in our homes, we'll deal with it. But let's not sit up and pick and choose what's true and what's not. Just know that you do everything that you can to prevent it from happening to you. And that's all I have to say about it, Paul.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We're up against a break. A couple more guests to come in this next 2 hours. We are back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back here on a Monday afternoon, and Braden is up next. Braden calling from Kentucky. Hey, Braden.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you, Braden.
Well, I had a question. Do you think they will have a college basketball season this year due to all the COVID?
I tell you what, Braden, that is a really good question, because college basketball has a few more issues than football, primarily because it's an indoor sport. But right now, I think if there is a good chance of the college basketball season, it may start late. There's been two models, either start it early and then take a break, or start it late and maybe extend it. But I'm moderately confident we'll have college basketball. Are you a UK fan?
Yeah, I'm a UK fan. I also play basketball myself. I'm a real basketball fan.
So what have you heard from your coaches?
Well, they've been saying that we may be on and off during the season due to all the COVID.
Are you a guard?
No.
Okay. You just sounded like a forward. Okay. That's a good position. I played forward when I was your age. Poorly, I might add, but I played it. Well, you hang in there and keep us posted. We'll see how we'll continue with your career. Legend is up next, who played all positions because he's a great athlete. You're on the air.
Man, when I played basketball, Paul, I scored 2 points, got 20 rebounds, and 18 fouls a game.
That was me. I was a great defensive player. I was a body man.
Yeah, I you know, when I got on the court, I was a true hack man. There wasn't no layups or dunks when I was on the court, Paul. Yeah,
I would imagine where you played, there were no rules, were there?
No, we had shanks on the court where I played, Paul. We had shanks on the court.
Sounds like a good movie, except it's already been done.
Yeah, if you score 20 in the first quarter, you wouldn't make it the second quarter. I promise you. Hey, Paul, Nick Saban is back, baby.
Nick Saban. Just when you thought it wasn't safe to check on Nick Saban's recruiting ranking, look at him.
Yeah, Nick strutting around like a rooster, baby. Hit him with the flex. You know, Paul, if Alabama was a woman, it'd be a big booty woman. And you know, everybody loves a big booty woman, Paul. I mean, come on, Paul. You know that show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Come on. If you want to be a millionaire, just go to Alabama, baby. That's how you become a millionaire. I mean, come on. I mean, I am so excited from what I'm seeing from Nick Saban, Paul. You know, he figured out a long time ago what Shula and the DeBose of the world never could figure out, and that is that you build a team from the interior out. You build it with them big nasties, them guys that get in the dirt, them monsters that eat you up, baby. You know, when I heard one time that when Nick Saban got to Alabama, there was 200-300-pounders on campus. You know how many's on campus today? 35, baby. You were the big monsters in the trenches, baby. I mean, Bryce Young has to be smiling, don't you think, Paul?
I would think Bryce. I mean, you know, Luganville said it's the best offensive line class under Saban, which is saying a great deal.
Yeah, it is. When you think about Warback and them guys that was on that team back in 2008 and 2009, I mean, they had a monster. They had 4 first-round draft picks on their offensive line. I mean, it's just amazing. The Twins, they got out of Texas, the number one player out of Michigan. I mean, if Alabama wants you, we're going to go get you. That's just the way it is. I mean,
how embarrassing is it? They go down and steal 2 legendary players. I mean, a guy whose brother and father and grandfather played at Texas, and then they literally go on down Jim Harbaugh's street and take the best player out of there.
Yeah, we like ZZ Top, Paul. We nationwide. If we want you, we'll go get you. You know, that's just the way it is. I mean, and anybody that thinks this dynasty's old wilts just don't know football. That's just the way it is, man. I mean, there's a lot of more championship rings on the way that a lot of people are going to have to kiss in the near future. Hey, Paul, yesterday my Orioles are in first place, baby. I'm riding high. Call the cable company.
You're the only person that wants to see it. You want to see the season end right now.
Right now, Paul, right now. I mean, the Orioles ain't been in first place this late in the season since the Clinton ministry campaign, Paul.
Legend, as always, a classic call. We're up against the break. Thanks so much for the call. We have a couple of guests coming up in the next 30 to 40 minutes.